DeJounte Murray, or would you rather Trae Young? We're about to talk about it right now. Let's do it.
First took away. Gaps with this. Get your money's worth now.
Presented to you by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Propels Talk, located at 19 Porges Street by the Superdome. Give them a call at 504-523-5413 if you or someone you know has been involved in an accident. The Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Propels Talk. Make sure you smash that like button. Before we get in the show, hope everyone is okay with this bad weather right now. So there's a lot of damage there in Lake Charles area. So I hope everyone has stayed safe. Jason, this is probably right off the bat a really good comment. Anyways, I hope you get. Oh wait, no, wait. Where is it? Where did it go? Where's the stand one?
That's
the thing. Oh, there it is. That was it. Anyways, I hope you get this man hit me back just to chat. Truly, here's your biggest fan. This is not.
Yeah, that's a dead Hall of Fame. That's great.
Make sure you smash the like button. All right, let's get right into it. Five. We'll start with Trae Young, right? And so there's been a lot of back and forth. A lot of people like Trae Young. A lot of people don't like Trae Young. We'll start with you. Look, he's a three-time All-Star. A lot of people say he's a defensive liability. He's, you know, not a good locker room guy. What do you like about Trae Young, and what do you not like about Trae Young?
I like the fact that Trae Young is like a fucking all-star, right? Like, I think he is, you know, a top-tier talent. Yeah, top-tier talent in his league. He single-handedly guided his team to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, let's not take this for granted. Like, this is a really good basketball player on any team. I mean, forget locker rooms do not win you championships. I'm sorry, newsflash. Good locker rooms do not win you playoff series. They don't. Good players, good coaching does. So however you can get good players in a situation and mold them into a place where, you know, they can, you know, yield wins, that's what you would like to see. Trae Young, really good pick and roll player, right? Can handle the rock, get downhill, create advantages, and he's super savvy, right? There's almost like a thing out there where he got to the free throw line too much. Hell, you would love for the Pelicans to get to the line too much. I would love to see a day and age where the Pelicans got an enormous amount of calls. Hell, that probably would help out Zion a ton, right? Just seeing another guy being able to bait and be able to get to the line, use what he has as an advantage, like he's a smaller guy, and his ability to pass, shoot from distance, clutch, right? There's a ton of different things I like about Trae Young. He fit perfectly for the Pelicans.
Okay, so we'll get to negatives then, because you said something, Five, I wanted talk about just a little bit. You say he shoots from deep, right? So like that also expands the floor. It creates more space for guys like Zion Williamson, for guys like Trey Murphy, CJ McCollum, so on and so forth. There is one point someone had mentioned, like, I don't want to see a Trey Young, CJ McCollum backcourt. We're gonna talk about that. But Ross, I've seen a lot of negativity around Trey Young. What are some positives you like of Trey Young's game?
Coming out of college, I thought he was going to be more of a – I mean, he scores really well. He passes the ball better than I thought he did. Like, he's a better – I'm not just talking about numbers. I'm talking about, like, he's a more effective – I mean, a lot of it's in pick and roll, but he's a clever passer. Like, I didn't think his court vision was as sophisticated as it is. It's not just, like – empty assist, right? Where, you know, he got in a pick and roll, didn't work out. You pass somebody, they make a shot, or a lot of times you get a point guard that, you know, obviously Trae Young does have, you know, really high usage. He has the, you know, the basketball in his hands a lot, but the times I've watched, I've been really impressed. Like when he actually makes a concerted effort to like distribute the basketball, he's super impactful from that regard. There's a lot about his game I don't like at all.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, look, the negatives are talked about because they're true. Like, he is maybe the worst defender in the entire NBA. Does it matter? I don't know. Maybe not. Like, but it's still a fact that he's one of the worst, I think, individual defenders in the entire NBA. I think one of the things that worries me about him coming here is I think he's an unbelievable pick and roll like point guard. We don't have anyone on this team that can screen for shit, and we don't have a rim runner. So, like, yes, that's a great aspect of his game, but like, I don't think we're currently as constructed either from a roster standpoint or from a style of basketball that we want to play standpoint, like prepared to accentuate that positive. And then there's just the part about it seems like nobody really likes him. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Good players win games. I get all that. But, like, I mean, like, he's run a couple coaches off. Yeah, they, you know, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals once, but he missed the playoffs a couple times, lost in the first round a couple times. You know, I think that those things are, like, there's some of those negatives that I could certainly just not care about. I think the biggest sort of red flag for me is almost, again, not on Trae Young. It's on the fact that I think the things he does best are, like, not things that the Pelicans can support right now as, like, as their
Chaz, go ahead with Trae Young, because we've talked about the combination of Zion and Trae and how fun it might be, right? You think of Trae Young, you think of Trey Murphy, you think of, you know, Zion Williamson, maybe even Jordan Hawkins sharing the floor. Who knows if he's going to play next year? Like, could you kind of talk about that aspect of bringing in a Trae Young and how exciting at least it would be?
Trae Young, 3-time All-Star, Most Improved Player, All NBA Third Team, plays, you know, last 3 seasons, 76 games, 73 games. I think he had like an orbital injury or something this year, 54. But the year, even before that streak of 70 plus games, you had 81, 60, 63. Incredible talent. Shoot, like his numbers kind of speak for themselves, but it's like the fact that this guy is the size he is, it makes it extra incredible. Gets to the line no less than like 7-8 times. Like it's incredible at a, with that 85% clip. I mean, fuck, I don't, honestly, I think with Trae being, what season is he in? He's entering his 7th season. I think with Trae entering his 7th season, I think the major knocks on Trae are even more than his defense is the fact that people have an issue with whatever his personality is. I watched a couple documentaries on it just to get like some form of backstory. Trae, natural villain. Natural villain, was a natural villain in college. Yep. Natural villain in the pros, got that he's not even supposed to be here type thing about him because of his height and the brand of basketball he plays. Would immediately be the smartest player on the team. Immediately. Like, ain't like the bar incredibly high, but he would immediately be the smartest offensive player on the team, which goes to tell me that, you know, he could, there's some potential there for him to be at least, because he don't have to be good defensively. He just has to be not totally a fucking disaster, right? Saw a guy like Steph Curry, who does have like a bit more size to him, kind of become, I would say, rather competent defensively. Now, Steph does have a bit more like height and wingspan to him. But a guy who's stronger than his, I guess you would say, physique, pause. But this is a hell of a player, box office guy. And if you look at his numbers, it's funny because when I first saw this, it took me aback a little bit. His shot shooting from behind the arc, like between 25 and 29 feet, he's shooting at 38%. Now, those shots that you would call like the dumb zone shots, right, which is like probably more than 34%, between 35 and 39, he's at 32 and 33%. So really, if you, his numbers are deflated by some of the shots in the dumb zone, like the logo shots that, you know, both of the Trays like to take, like both those shots are. So if you kind of take away his overall, like those, if you kind of limit those shots, man, including some of the this guy's ability to get to the free throw line, he's probably one of the more gifted scorers in the league. And every time he's played us, to me, he didn't beat us from behind the arc. He beat us in the intermediate. Floaters, middies, like that's how he always beats us.
And And like, Jerry, I know you want to talk about, because we talked about, you know, the logo shots and Trey Murphy and Trae Young do it all the time. Like, I actually don't mind those shots. You don't want to do it like 4 or 5 times a game, but it also expands the defense to where, like, literally you have a lot of driving lanes. Like, you have to respect a Trey Murphy or Trae Young out there. And then to your point, Chaz, he kills you with, okay, yeah, now I got guard him from 35 feet away. Well, that's where the pick and roll happens. Pump fake, triple drive. You collapse the defense, kickouts or floaters. Go ahead, Jared.
My bad. Trae Young leads the league in potential assists. Did y'all know that? At 54 games, he leads the league in potential assists, 18.2 a game.
Like, okay, that's a stat right there.
Better than Halliburton on a team that led the league in pace, right? Wow. This guy, Trae Young, led the league in potential assists. Now, surround him with Zion, who scores at an elite clip at the rim, and Trey Murphy that can shoot, and possibly CJ McCollum. I don't give a fuck about defense at this point.
And here's the thing. We talk about screening. Screening can be corrected. It's just repetitive. Screening is probably screening and boxing out are the two easiest things you can teach. It's just all about will.
You and I talk about this ad nauseum at times. That's the only thing you can correct in the season. Yeah. You can't really correct shooting in season. You can't really correct energy during the season, in my opinion. But screening and rebounding? That's the only two maybe you can change.
Right. Lito, do you worry about the fit between, pause, do you worry about the fit between Trae Young and Zion Williamson? Or just the fit around, I guess, Trae Young bringing him to this team? I guess Brandon Ingram would be off the team. Probably Larry Nance, so on and so forth. A lot of people talk about the fit. Do you worry about that with Trae Young? You're muted. Off to a good start.
Worry? Why would I be worried? What would worry me about that kind of spacing, that kind of, like, who's worried about that?
There's a lot of people worried.
Well, they stupid, Justin. So check this out. I like Trae Young. Trae Young is an asshole. He's a villain, like Chaz said. My earliest memory of Trae Young is him taking a bow at Oklahoma. Like, he was getting booed at Oklahoma, and this motherfucker took a bow. Like, do you have anybody on this team that would do that? Secondly, my second favorite memory of him is him taking a bow at Madison Square Garden. Inject that shit into my veins. They were throwing popcorn at him. And this man was like, "Now I'm about to send y'all home. This Broadway, I'm going to give y'all a play." He's not just a three-point shooter. He's an undersized guard that has no problem not only getting into the paint, but scoring over taller players. He can shoot the midi, and he will take the in-between shot. Matter of fact, I think he shot more twos than threes this year.
Mm.
Second, and also, 33% of his shots were assisted on. It's possible with Zion, Trey, CJ, and the way they score, Trey may have open shots like he's never seen before. I'll tell you what I like. His assists have gone up every year. His steals have gone up every year. His 3-point attempts are going back up. I think in 2020 year of Trae Young was insane. I think he averaged 29 points, 11 assists. Like, I think that was the Eastern Conference Finals year, if I'm not mistaken. He should be a better free throw shooter than he is. However, when you got a player who's getting to the line at least 8 times a game, it's hard to knock 85% at the line. You're looking at a lot less pressure off of Trae Murphy. He probably won't have to shoot such deep 3-pointers. A lot less pressure off of CJ. If you look at CJ's shots assisted on percentage, it's good now. With Trae, it will be incredible. Zion and Trae in the pick and roll would be, bro, John Collins, right? Think of John Collins, but think of a better version of him in Zion. And you giving that to Trae? Like, pause. That's crazy. But you give that
Sorry. There's accountability on this show.
No, sorry. Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, that's respectable. I'm a man of respect, so I accept that. It's a lot less pressure off. And here's the thing. It's a lot less pressure off of Trae Young. Because honestly, he's never had this kind of spacing around him. Never.
He's never had someone like Zion Williamson.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. And listen. He's also a guy. You got another shooter on the bench in Hawk, right? He's also a guy that he could learn how to play in the NBA from as an undersized guard. A guy, they say, you say Hawk don't play defense, right? Trae could, I'm not saying Trae is a great defender, but he's almost at two steals a game. He's playing a passing lanes, obviously.
And if we're talking about Coach Willie Green, I mean, one of his strengths is to get guys to play defense. This is an interesting question, Five. I'll start with you from Lightskin 318.
Okay,
did you want to say something, Chaz?
Well, I just wanted to say, like, man, you know, I think even with Trae's, like, with the locker room toxicity thing, it's like, I feel like it's a much to do about nothing, because it ain't like he would be coming into what's already a great locker room. This is a pretty bad locker room right now. You know, some stuff is out there, some stuff isn't out there, like, you know, but these ain't a pack of buddies here. Like, you know what I'm saying? These guys ain't all friends. Also, like, even with the pairing with CJ, it's like CJ, and people have to understand that CJ is a temporary player, right? CJ is inevitably gone. He is not a member of this team's core. CJ is going to be gone soon. You're talking about, like, Trae as a core member, like, next year and kind of, like, beyond. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. It's like, I just think some of the pushback is kind of, like, it's built on the house of cards a little bit.
So, Jared, this was an interesting question. A lot of people have been talking about this, right? Does CJ start if we get Trae, Young? What are your thoughts on that question there? Muted.
My bad. Yeah. I think he doesn't start, and I think he actually accepts it. Right?
Really? Like,
because he understands, like, Trae Young's a better player than CJ McCollum. Like, I think he probably agree with that. Like, just, he probably, you know, there's some probably pushback behind it, but he is a better player. And that's okay to understand. Right? He's younger. Right? Like, he's probably going to get a contract based on the money. Like, yeah. Just allude to what Chaz was just saying. CJ's temporary. Trae would be understood, like, this is Zion's team. Trae's second. And then CJ, in his rightful place, would be coming off the bench. That makes the most sense. I mean, we've probably been saying this for the last couple of years. I think CJ would be best fitted for the second unit. That way he doesn't have to, you know, get guys involved. He can go to his natural position at the two. But the only problem is the first unit wasn't working right, right? They couldn't play together. There was mishaps. Brandon and Zion really couldn't coexist. They didn't have good minutes together. So CJ had to fill that void and, you know, them in and out of lineup. But CJ would probably prosper, you know, coming off the bench, playing against second tier guys, right? Like, he eat them alive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about it. Ross, let's talk about it. Like, we'll talk about a duo, Trae Young and Zion Williamson. Those two together offensively, how do you see them flourishing, I guess you could say?
Willie Green still the head coach?
Yeah.
He's got to play them, right?
You have to play those two together.
Yeah, and I mean, we can talk about it later. I mean, I agree with what Five just said, but in a lot of ways, I disagree with him because I think CJ would have to start because I feel like Herb Jones would have to be included in the trade that would get you Trae Young. But here nor there, I do think that lineup of like a potential lineup of Trae Young, CJ, Trae, Zion, and whoever is like should score a bajillion points a game. I worry about like the synergy of anything that involves Zion pick and roll where Zion's a screener. Cause I just haven't seen it. Like I,
But why do you think that? That is such an important question, because I don't think there's a level of accountability. I don't think they've been like, look, Zion, you got to start setting screens. You got to start rolling hard. You got to start doing these things. Just about like how Brandon Ingram, you got to start shooting threes, right? Like, that's my thing. I think it's so easily correctable.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if it's a word, but I'm just saying, like, Zion Williamson, like, hey, Zion. Or even,
I think it's asking him to do something that I bet he's never done in his entire, like, set for a screen? Long periods of time. Yeah. Like, how many times, like, you think Zion Williamson was setting screens in high school?
Like, I mean, no, I saw his competition like in high school. I'm sure high school right, joke.
But that's the whole
point. I would have to go look at Duke.
He's generally, like, a player that's best with the basketball in his hands, making decisions. They're both incredibly talented offensive players. Like, I trust them to figure it out a lot more than I trust like the Brandon Zion combo to figure out, just because of the styles. And there's like additional space on the floor that comes with Trae Young. But for me, it's not just like this slam dunk of, you know, pairing Trae Young with a perfect complement or pairing Zion with a perfect complement. But I do think those two guys just individually are so good offensively that I would trust that they would figure it out quicker than what we saw with the other pairing.
Yeah. Chaz, you want to go ahead and talk? Cause I think you've talked about Zion and Trae before, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts like on how they would be such a better fit than Brandon and Zion. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I think, and truthfully, I also think though, and that's the thing with a guy like Trae Young or a guy like a Jimmy Butler, even a Brandon Ingram, if these guys were, you know, ideal, the Pelicans would have no chance at getting them. Like, the reason a Trae even is available is because he has, like, questions surrounding his character and some things with his play, of course. Even you can even kind of say that about Zion, truthfully. If Zion was, like, clear-cut Luka Doncic, you don't give a fuck who you put next to him. You're like, I know I got this guy. He going to make it work, right? But I think they're a much better pairing. And even with Zion not being an excellent off-ball player, you do see a person who has a lot of room to grow and, like, hone his craft. Trae, at this point in Trae's career, he's played less seasons than Brandon's played. Them two have a pretty solid relationship from what we've seen on the surface anyway.
Yeah.
And also, man, when you watch the playoffs, when you watch, like, you need multiple guys who can just possibly be the best player in a series. And we've seen Trae do that a couple times. And also, you need motherfuckers that can get a bucket, man. Like, even a guy who got a dribble
an
the ball.
An easy bucket, too.
Easy bucket or even a difficult bucket. Like, you know what I'm saying? You need a motherfucker that knows how to, like, initiate contact, have a crazy and one play. And, you know, it would be a guy like Trae. And to Jason's point, I don't think Zion is like some alpha player. I think Zion is a dude who comfortable being second in command. Like, he's like, if a player comes there and he's like at least on par and he's scoring, Zion is part of the offense, he's scoring, doing this thing, he's comfortable playing that. Like, he's not tripping, he all smiles. Trae just got like that it as far as leadership that you gotta have. Like, it ain't bad getting coaches fired. We got a guy here who looked like he about to get his third coach fired. Or it's my bad, his second coach in JB. So, like, it ain't always bad getting a coach fired. Like, you know what I'm saying? If Trae came here and that meant Willie Green's exit, I think he's 2 points for the good guys. So, you know, I mean, I don't know, man. But in reality, though, I don't think Trae is, like, I think he's obtainable, but I don't think the Pelicans really got a real shot at doing him. But that's more on the Atlanta side. We'll talk about that later, though.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah, go ahead real quick.
Can we talk about – I just want to talk about Trae's assists per month real fast.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, so, I mean, obviously, like, he didn't play the whole season. He got injured, and it warranted games missed. So you go from 10 assists a game in October, 10.8 in November, 12.2 in December. January, he averaged 10. February, 10. April, 10. It's like, think about who is on that team, again, versus – who would be on this team as far as lob threat shooters. You lose the battle in coaching because Quinn is a better coach than Willie is. But I think with the intellect that Trae, CJ, Zion, and the other Trey have, I think you could. I think it might draw even.
Do you like the pairing between Zion and Trey?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because look at every time, bro. People.
Can you fix your camera a little bit? Like your eyes see like.
Half. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I'm sorry. you look at the way when you see Zion with Jose, people they lust over that. They feel like, damn, he's got a real guard now. And I don't look, whatever, however y'all feel about Jose, y'all feel about him. But if we compare, if we put,
oh Jesus Christ.
What?
Because someone compared Jose to Trey the other day in a tweet, and it made me go ahead. Just go ahead.
But if you were to put Trey in that spot and let him have the reins that you gave Jose, which is crazy, I think that it'll pay off. Not only would it pay off for Zion, but again, bro, like you watched the Pelicans against the Thunder. They were getting smothered. There was no easy shots. The Pelicans, to be honest, the Pelicans haven't gotten an easy shot in 5 years. If we keep it to 1,000.
Make sure y'all smash that like button. So if you're new here, make sure you subscribe. Hit the bell notification. You know when we're live. We'll be going live probably like 2 or 3 times a week in the off season. I see a bunch of comments. We start them. We will get to them at the end of the show. Now five. Oh, once again, presented to you by Chris Smith and Company Burger, located 4600 Ferret Street. Five, let's talk to Jonte Murray. Chaz, it's so funny. You know, me and Chaz did a show 3 years ago about how the Pelicans should go after DeJounte Murray, and we were called assholes. We know what we were talking about, and now here we are again. So a lot of people like DeJounte Murray. Five. Obviously, DeJounte was talked about the All-Star or at the trade deadline. Allegedly, they wanted Herb Jones in the deal. Just your initial thoughts on DeJounte Murray and his, I guess, fit with the Pelicans.
I think he's smart. I think he wants to win. You can say NBA players want to win, but the way he plays lets you know, like, I want to win. Like, he'll go out on his shield to win a basketball game. And that is something, like, you can't really teach. Comes from, like, high basketball stock playing. I think he's from Seattle. I think he's, like, his mentor is Jay Crossover. So there's a lot of basketball coming out of Seattle. Played for Pop, played under Kawhi, earned his right to be a starter, became it. I think he's a one-time All-Star, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think he's maximizing his talent. I don't think he's, like, super-duper talented. If you're comparing talent to, like, even Brandon talent, Trey talent, I don't think he's there. But I think he has the will to be good. Right, like, he makes smart basketball plays. He competes on the defensive end. Gets out in transition. He learned how to shoot. Shoots more threes now than he did before. I think he's a worker, and I think that's somebody that you would want in your locker room, especially at the price that he has.
Interesting. Go ahead, Ross.
No, I mean, I agree with a lot of that. I mean, part of the thing, you know, part of his appeal is his contract, right? And I think to a certain degree, he's easier to acquire in a trade than Trae Young would be. Having said that, you know, I know that'll be the next segment. It's still not perfect to acquire either player, but just looking at him, look, he defends, he competes. I think he's a kind of a better lead guard than maybe he gets credit for, because, you know, you get a lot of folks that just look at assist and, you know, what somebody's doing there, but I think he does a good job of of kind of managing a game, and he's continued to take more shots. I don't know what he finished at this year, but I mean, there was a point in the season where he was shooting really well from three, and I think he kind of finished once Trae Young went out, and he, you know, obviously the type of threes he was taking weren't as clean as they were when he was there. The question I would have in thinking about Murray's fit with the Pelicans is, like, does he move the needle enough? Like, does he take you from where you are today to something, like, that you feel really comfortable saying, No, yeah, you know, you swap out BI for Murray, that immediately makes you a threat for the Western Conference Finals next year. So it's like, maybe, but I don't know. I think that's my biggest question mark. Like, how much of an upgrade is he over CJ McCollum? How much of an upgrade is he over the combo of Brandon and Herb or whatever it would take to acquire him? And you know, I probably got to watch more film on that side of it. He's a really good player. I'd love to get him, but it's just what's the cost?
Yeah. Chaz, go ahead about DeJounte, because you've been talking about him for a while now, but I'm actually interested in – we're going to talk about this after this segment about trade packages and what that will look like. But what do you like about DeJounte, Chaz?
I think he's a guy who has a clear understanding of where with the type of player he is and where he is in his career. I think he's a guy who's like, yo, I'm a number two, number three guy. Right, I really think he tried hard to buy into that when he was in Atlanta. Got the clutch gene, hit some big shots in the clutch. Good size, really good rebounder for a guard, great passer, great scorer, not the most efficient scorer, but a scorer. A less ideal fit. I think the thing with Murray's more of a package type thing, right? The way, like, the appeal with him is it allows you to do other things financially, whereas with Trey you're kind of shooting for the stars, like you taking the talent there, whereas Murray is like, you know, he's probably a lower second tier talent guy, like more of an all-star guy, probably not gonna be like an all NBA type guy, but he allows you to, like, you get a Murray but you're still on the hunt for your real number two, unless Trey ascends to that. You're still on the hunt for like another piece or two. Yeah, you know, he's more of that type of guy, but I like a lot about his game. Get fearless, accountable player, by all accounts, a real good locker room guy from what I've gathered. Just a guy whose trajectory seems to be heading in the right direction.
And one number I think everyone's gonna like before we get to Lito is three, averaged a career high in 3-point attempts at 7.1 3-point attempts this year, shooting 36% from deep. Got to the free throw line only 3.5 times, shot 8%, but still those 3-point numbers are good. Before we get to Lito's thoughts, can we please make sure to smash the like button? I hate having to ask y'all to do this. Can you just smash the like button? Helps out the channel. Even if you don't like the show, just smash the like button. Lito, go ahead about DeJounte Murray.
I mean, it's a lot to like about DeJounte. For one, I guess the most important thing in regards to this team is DeJounte made 201 three-pointers this year. So, I mean, you could really just start there. DeJounte is a guy you get good rebounding from the lead guard position. I mean, you're getting 6 rebounds from a guard. You know, you feel good about that. I like DeJounte's attitude. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but DeJounte played in a basketball tournament last summer where Paolo was a rookie, and he was trying to fight him. And that changed my whole opinion about him. Threw a basketball at a guy's face. Like, I mean, what's not to like about that? I feel like DeJounte has the kind of attitude. Like, I'm with Five and Chaz on this. He's not the greatest guy skill-wise. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not a guy where you look at and you say, damn, man, like, he does this thing textbook, or he's top 5 in this, or he's top 10 in this. You never gonna get that from DeJounte, but the effort and the attitude is there from him, and that's something, you know, you don't see a lot of pouting from a guy like that. Like you said, Justin, he only shot 3 free throws a game. He's not a guy who really gets to the line like that. I think if you want to knock his game, that's a big knock in his game. He's in the past, he's been a good defender. He's had to do a lot of scoring recently in Atlanta, so he hasn't been putting that much effort into defense anymore. But, you know, I probably, depending on the location, the situation, with that could change. You see guys all the time who were defenders turned into scorers, and then, you know, the defensive aspect of them just kind of goes away. Not goes away, but, like, for instance, Paul George, right? Like, Paul George is he's been a great defensive player his whole life, but now I don't feel like you would say Paul is a great defender anymore. He's much more of a scorer at this point. He's a good defender, but he's not putting that kind of effort in the defense.
I hear y'all's comparisons of DeJounte and Trey. Like, y'all think DeJounte wants to win, whatever, good culture guy. Trey Young kind of the opposite. Does that kind of play into y'all's decision of
not at all?
No. No, and I'm not saying that at all.
I just want to
push back. I think Trae Young wants to win. Let's not get this misconstrued. Yeah. You just see something in, like, DeJounte wasn't supposed to be the guy. And if nobody's there to fill the void, he does not have a problem with being that guy. He has a game this season where he shot 44 times.
Yeah,
I think he scored 50. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he won. I didn't want to. He said after the game, I didn't want to shoot that. Shit, I had to.
That was literally my next point about DeJounte. He had a game this year where he scored 44 points. I think he had to take 41 shots. I didn't love that game from him. But what I did love was this. You got nobody on the Pelicans who is willing to take 44 shots.
There's a guy. He doesn't play, but there's definitely a guy that would take 44 shots.
Shoot him if you're not in, though.
You know, to me, you know who DeJounte is? DeJounte is Fred VanVleet.
Mm.
He's Fred VanVleet, right? He's might be better than Fred VanVleet because I can't disrespect his one all stuff. But he's Fred VanVleet. That's the tier of player you're talking about. Like a guy who's like solid to good, right? Solid to good. And sometimes he's gonna be very good, but he'll never be great. Like, you know, he's not great. He's not like nowhere near that. He can't, there's nothing he can do to get into the great category, right? But if you got DeJounte Murray and he played like Derek White all season, fucking win. Yeah. Like, God, that's a major win. But now, see, the thing is, his contract is what makes it such an attractive deal, even versus Trae Young. I still would go Trae Young. But the thing is, it's like, it just allows you to round out the roster a bit more. But that's if you think you can get guys to sign here. Now, that's another real question.
Yeah, and so for the contract before we get to 5, so DeJounte Murray signed for this year for 25, following year 27, 2026, 2027 years, 29. He's got player options. So you have him for the next 3 years. And he's got player option for $31 million in 2027, 2028. Go ahead, 5.
This is the thing about getting either Trey or DeJounte. It's if you had a better coach, you'd feel more impelled to go with DeJounte. Because maybe you can just add pieces and then, you know, have a really good team. Right. If you go the Trey route, you don't really trust Willie Green. But yet, at least Trey Young's going to go get it done, right? They're going to figure out something. I wanted to bring something back up to y'all. Zion said James Borrego texted him this season and told him, like, after practice, we're going to run pick and roll between you and Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's the first time I've ever heard like screening referring to Zion, like, you know, pick and roll, like you got a screen, someone taking their time out to help him. He said that's the first time since he's been here that's happened. Like, we talk about the Trae Young, like, getting, but the issue isn't really the players per se.
Yeah.
It's the people instructing them. Like, why does James Borrego in his first month say, hey, Brandon and Zion, let's get together and run pick and roll because you guys seem like you've never done it before.
Oh, go ahead, Lito.
Go ahead, Lito.
So look, the thing with DeJounte is this. He, you know, you talk about, in reference to Brandon, right, you talk about Brandon's shot profile, and it's not really a, if you look at his shot chart, it's not really a great it's not a great fit as far as Zion's game. DeJounte has taken, first of all, he's taken 563 pointers this season, and he shot 36% at it. Even he's taken 924 twos, but the thing about him is those two, the variety of twos he has taken has been incredible. His shot chart is from mid-range down the free throw line, down the layups. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's gotten to the cup and he's shot in 58% at the rim. He's a guy who, look, I would prefer, you ask him, if, between Trey and DeJounte, bro, just get one. I don't care. Just get one of them. I prefer Trey personally, but, like, man, I'm fine with either guy.
Perfect. Let's next segment then. Ross, start with you. Yeah, choose one. Either DeJounte or Trey. Everyone's going to answer on the panel. You got to choose one, and I got to hear your trade package. So what – we'll start with you, Ross. Who you getting and who you giving up?
Yeah. I mean, I just can't say it any better than Jarrett just did. We're like, if I had more faith in the coaching staff, because I like Murray more as just an overall, like, player, just a, you know, it just, I just like the way he plays basketball more than I like the way Trae Young. But in this case, I have to say you just have to acquire talent, because I don't have any faith in the coaching staff. So I'm really leaning on the players to just figure the shit out. And so from that perspective, I want to acquire as much talent as humanly possible. And I think Trae Young is just a far superior talent. So for me, it would be Trae Young.
Ross, I got to stop you. I'm sorry. Just give me a second.
Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh. Fucking love you, man.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's cool. But this to me is the part we really need to talk about, because I struggle to understand how and or why we think we could get either player. and or why the Hawks would do the deal that we think it would take, right? Brandon and Herb or whatever, right? For either of those guys. Like, I struggle to understand why the Hawks would do that, because I wouldn't do it if I was the Hawks. And so, you know, if the Hawks are willing to entertain some kind of Brandon Ingram and Herb Jones and a pick or whatever for Trae Young, like, sure, like, count me in. But, like, I don't know why the fuck they would do that.
So you're giving up Brandon, Herb, and a pick for Trey. And I'm guessing Kongu would be added to that as well.
You can't just add him. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. This is the problem with the Trey Young one, is we still don't have a center on the roster, like, period. And so, you know, it's part of the reason, Chaz said this earlier, it's part of the reason I would want Murray, because it's more of a package deal. You can solve two issues by trading for Murray, because if you're trading for Murray, you're getting a center too. But to answer your question, yeah, I would do that, because Brandon Ingram's gone in a few months anyway for me. So, you know, the way I look at that deal is it's addition by subtraction, just getting Brandon off the roster. And you're talking about trading Herb Jones and a pick for Trae Young? Like, who the hell is not doing that?
Okay. Chaz, go ahead. You got to pick one, and then your trade. It's got to be a trade package.
For me, it's Trae. It's not even really a debate. Yeah. Like, it's Trae Young, right? And the thing, and I like Murray a lot, but I like Murray if I get to keep everybody and add Murray to that. And, you know, and I'm like, if it's going to be overwhelming, you know, with talent. But the thing with, if I'm the Hawks, and I thought about, though, I really thought about this a lot. I was like, if I'm the Hawks, there's no way I do this in a regular year, in a regular offseason with a normal draft. Since none of those things have happened, and you got the cap situation, this is the strangest fucking offseason ever. Like, a new cap situation coming up as soon as next year. Then you got the weirdest draft in history, and you got a team with no especially good players are available, like, on the market. Jimmy Butler and Paul George, age, and Brandon Butler. I said Brandon Butler, Brandon Ingram, right? So now it's like, if you're the Hawks, you either got one or two decisions to make. Now, once you draft Alex Salt, it's over. Like, right? The number one pick ain't worth shit no more. It's over. It's probably not worth that much now. But once you draft them, it's totally over. You either go build around one of these dudes in the first, or you go, like, say, fuck it, I'm sending the first out with one of these dudes, and I'm going to try to get maximum return. You probably feel a lot more comfortable sending out Murray because you can't send out Trae Young and the first unless you're getting like a super duper star back. You just can't do that. But the thing is, there's no one really worthy. There's no one really worthy of a fucking Murray in a first right now. So if I'm my target alone would be Trae Young. That's my target alone. I don't need nobody else to go with him. I'll sign a bunch of fucking no-name scrap heap centers. I'll draft a center, maybe two of them, and I'll just run them all out there and see what happens, right? I do that, and my package, it would be this is my first offer. Brandon, Hawkins, Dyson, and three firsts.
For Trae. Well,
two firsts in a swap. Yeah, two firsts in a swap.
For Trae. So that's yep. Okay. Let's go five. Go ahead.
Trae Young is here, but which one would I rather? I would probably, if I can get the deal where I can kill two birds with one stone, I would go with DeJounte. Right? If I can kill two birds with one stone, I would just go that route. Does that make me better? Nah, probably not. I'd feel a lot more comfortable if we had a better coach. But I think adding this guy to this team gives you a lot of flexibility, and there's no fight for the, like, Zion's already been fighting a good fight for the last 5 years. Who's like the best player on the team? I think Trae gives you a little bit of that, right? Like, who's the best player still? So I don't necessarily want to do that to him again. Let's just say, yeah, Zion, you're the best player. DeJounte, you're coming in to help Zion. Also, that helps DeJounte because he just catches and shoots off Zion's gravity. If I don't have – see, that's the thing. If I don't have to give up her for DeJounte, I'm keeping her. That's another piece. That way I can play like a heavy defense lineup because I know Willie wants to do that. That way you don't just cut his legs from under him. At least I got two really good defensive guys, and they both can play offense. If I can move Dyson, I will. If I can move Larry, I will. If I can get Okongwu in the deal, I will. That seems like the perfect trade to do. But if the opportunity to get Trae Young is there, I'll take that as well.
Yo, can I add something as well? See, you see this album? It was released posthumously by the great Tupac, alias Machiavelli the Don. See, you got what I see people saying, well, that's a lot, right? Shout out to Philo. I know you said it as well, but it's like I'm thinking about it in totality. I'm thinking about if I get Trae Young, Willie Green's not here much longer. As long as Willie Green's here, Hawkins, it don't matter. Like he done. Dyson done. As long as this staff is here, Dyson done. Hawkins done. You're talking about two dudes who won't be useful until their second contract somewhere else, somewhere the fuck else, right? Anybody you draft, done. Herb's are probably already peaked under Willie Green. Mind you, this is under Willie Green. You bring in a new coaching staff, everything changes. But this is under this coaching staff. Them dudes is dead on arrival anyway. You might as well go get the motherfucker who it don't matter who coaching him. He gonna be the man, and he gonna get rid of this coach you got. So the next young people you bring in here won't be done, like in dead on arrival. Like, how much more evidence do you need? You gotta think like Machiavelli.
David, before we get to Lito, I know Jerry, you can go next. David, we're just strictly focusing on the Hawks, but on Wednesday we're gonna do a, you know, either a Magic or a Pistons trade package, just like what we're doing tonight. So we're just doing just straight Atlanta Hawks. Go ahead, Lito.
Personally for me, it's Trae. Like if I had to make a trade, I'm trading for Trae.
Who you giving up?
Trae Young is a killer. He's a killer. Trae Young, in fourth quarters this season, has shot the ball 264 times. You look at the New Orleans Pelicans, and there have been moments when both Zion and Brandon have shied away from taking the big shot, making a big play. I remember that Utah game specifically, where I think Zion was Brandon was supposed to pass to Zion and ended up taking a crazy three or something like that. It's been a couple moments this season where you are left with, man, I wish this guy would take over. Now, towards the end of the season, Zion started to do that a lot more, specifically after the play-in tournament. But for me, Trey's a killer. Trey's a guy who knows who he is. He knows what he does well. He will come into the team. He will come to the team, and he will be who he is supposed to be. I think that throughout the season, you saw Brandon play next to Zion and suffer from a lack of confidence because he couldn't do the things that he wanted to do, or he couldn't be the player he wanted to be because that style of play was not working. I think he started to recognize it. I don't think Trae Young understands what a lack of confidence is. I don't think Trae Young, maybe. Oh, he got a hell of a lot of a 5'11 guard who shot 195 shots at the rim. Like, yeah, he got a hell of delusion. I think I don't think Trey knows what a doubt is. For me, I'm taking Trey. I'm a Trey Brandon. If I could find a way to sign and trade Jonas and Najee, I would do that. If I can't include them, Dyson and Larry, maybe a pick or two, and I need to get a Kongwu back though.
Yeah. Look, here we go. So we're gonna do fan questions or comments.
Hold on, just
sorry, Five. Go ahead.
If Quinn Snyder end up with Jordan Hawkins, I'm gonna be pissed.
Don't even do that. Do not do
dog.
Could you imagine? Oh, that'd be something. Chris Smith of Keller Williams, one of the top realtors in New Orleans, located at 8801 Leak Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. For free marketing valuation of your property, to book a property tour, or to talk real estate, give him a call at 504-231-2004 or email him at chrissmithhomes.com. That's chrissmithhomes.com. Let's get to some fan questions, comments. Once again, Jason, I'm going to bring this one up. Anyways, I hope you get this man back. Just a chat, truly yours. Your biggest fan, this is Mon. Mon, I know you're in the chat. Appreciate you as always being here. So, Locked On Hawks described Murray as a shorter version of B.I. and is anxious to come off of him.
That's crazy.
That's a crazy comment. But, Ross, go ahead.
Look, it's not a – I couldn't get it off mute there. It's not a totally unreasonable, like, thought. I mean, Murray's been there, what, a year and a half? And, like, Atlanta didn't really get better. Two full years. Atlanta didn't get better with him. At the end of the day, it's about winning. And, like, he didn't move the needle one bit for Atlanta. Like, it's not a – you know, I can appreciate that sentiment. Like, they've seen it. And now, what if you're sitting here making a choice? There are people probably saying the same shit we're saying. Who would you rather keep? The dude who on any given night can go get 50 and 11 assists, or just like a real good player? Like Murray is a really, really is just a real good player. In a lot of ways, he's almost like Herb, what we say about Herb, like just a top tier role player. Like can do a bunch of stuff really well. That's not necessarily what like wins you. Playoff series, though, or definitely not NBA titles. So, it's a reasonable comment to me.
Jarrett from Denzel, imagine Trae Young, Jordan Hawkins, Herb Jones, Trey, and Zion. Before you answer this, I thought Bill Simmons and I think it was Russillo did a podcast. I'm trying to pull the tweet. Yeah, right here. So Simmons talks about you get Trae Young, he goes to New Orleans, and then Russo says, it's not just Trae being the best lobman in the league. If you go Trae Herb and whatever is around Trae, there may be enough. And he talks about his defense, right? He talks about Zion Williamson buying in defensively. Maybe if you surround the right guys around Trae Young, would it work? That lineup there of Trae Young, Jordan Hawkins backcourt kind of terrifies me defensively, but we've talked about Jordan Hawkins, the effort there defensively, like the effort is there defensively with Jordan Hawkins. He's just his frame. He's just not there right now, but that five of Trae Young, Jordan Hawkins, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, and Zion is, you call that a death lineup for sure.
Well, it could win you a basketball game late in the fourth quarter when you've been trailing. Yeah. That lineup can get me back into a game. Right. And to be honest, it's not like I need him to be like Herb Jones defensively. I just need him to be competent. They used to talk about Devontae Graham, like, all right, super short, right? But he wasn't like a fluke on defense, right? Just be competent. Look at Luka and look at Kyrie in this playoff series. They've been really good defensively. They're just competent. They're not like long arm defenders. Like, they're not super athletic going left and right. Nah, they're just competent. But also, which helps, they have guys on the other side, you know, their backside, Paul, is like playing really good help side defense. And they got a coach that's thinking ahead of the game. All of that shit matters. So it's not like, you know, I would love to see that lineup, Justin. Offensively, yeah, space. But also, you got to think about the cook. Who's putting this shit together? Like, yeah, you can go pick and roll Trey Zion. This would be the first time Zion ever fucking saw it. But you could see it. But also, what happens when they sniff that shit out? Who's going to help them? Like, okay, this is what we need to do. Get Zion the screen, pocket pass, go play 3-on-2. Who's doing the fucking math here?
It's fair. Chaz from Dr. 318. Do you lose point Zion with Trey?
No, I think point Zion is something you disperse at certain points during the game. I don't think it's something that Zion at even at 265, I don't think that's something you should see like 40. I mean, however minutes of a game he plays. Like, you know, I really think, and again, you need another person who's able to self-create and be it Trey. Well, let's say Trey Murray. You need another person who's able to self-create and get into the teeth of the defense, kind of run and orchestrate the defense as well. Again, you do too much point Zion, you probably lose some of Zion's gifts on defense. That's what kind of would help even Murray, like, take some of the responsibilities off his hand in theory. And, you know, but I had a question for you, Justin.
Yeah.
If you, let's say they came to you there, look, we're doing a deal for Murray, but we want Hawkins or Herb.
I ain't gonna lie. That's disgusting. You would ask that to me. That is disgusting.
I like Hawkins. I might be a little low on him.
Yeah, so, you gotta. Well, so the deal is Brandon, and then you have to give up either Herb or Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta give up Hawkins. I mean, I'm keeping Herb. Okay. I love Jordan. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love that guy. I mean, I think me and Jared talking about. I was like, I think he's got some serious scoring potential. The upside is crazy. We talk about, like, Leo, like, kind of like jokes about it, but he's delusional. He does not see a bad shot, and I think the confidence that kid has is, I think he's gonna be a good player, especially once he starts filling out. So Leo, do you believe in this comment? If we were to get Trae Young, do you think Trey Murphy would lose touches from Timothy?
No, I don't. I think Trae Young, I mean Trae Young, I think Trey Murphy would benefit.
Ross is just downing the bottle. Go ahead. Oh, sorry.
He would benefit from, you know, you talk about Trey Murphy's gravity. He would benefit from Trey Young's gravity, who would benefit from Zion, who, like, it would be an ecosystem of basketball that, you know, we've never seen before. And then, you know, people love to say that Trey can't dribble. Okay, well, cool. Now he doesn't have to do that at all. Trey Murphy. Yeah, we had this conversation the other night. where the whole conversation was, man, Trey can't dribble. How he gonna do this? How he gonna do that? And the situation is that, like, you don't have to, like, he does not need to have a Kyrie Irving handle. He just needs a competent dribble. That's it. And in this situation with Trey Young and Zion setting the table for him, there's little to no need to dribble unless there is a bigger player on him that he can beat with his quickness. Other than that, bro, he's going to have so many easy open shots. And like I said, it's probably going to take away, he doesn't have to take as many 4-point threes as he does, just because the area won't be so crowded and he can feel confident in taking those shots. Cause, like, who you gotta double off somebody, right? Like, you gonna let Zion play 1-on-1, you gonna let Trey play 1-on-1. Trey's gonna get into the lane and he's gonna kick it out. At some point, somebody's gonna have to switch and rotate. So, nah, I don't see this. Also, to answer that question, they don't run plays for him. So how is he being hurt in this situation?
It's true. Dest, I started this comment. We're not gonna answer it tonight, but we will. I'm sure we'll be doing some draft stuff in the next couple weeks. So yeah, I'll definitely put Kolek on for Marquette to do some film breakdown. So let's see. There was one comment like, AJ, this is fine. I don't mind this opinion. Like, there are different opinions on what you think improvement is, what you don't think. I don't care about 49 wins. I care about playoff wins, playoff series wins. Have we gotten better? Do we have a brighter future? Right now, you got so many questions. I mean, between Trajan Landon possibly leaving, you got the Brandon Ingram thing. You don't have a center on the roster. There, you don't have a point guard. CJ McCollum is coming up. Like, there are so many questions than answers. Like, that's my thing about this whole, like, process, AJ. And, like, listen, if you think that 35 to 42 to 49 wins is progress, like, more power to you. I see I see it through a little bit of a different lens. But that's just me. Go ahead, Leo.
Yo, AJ, you talk about, you know, he isn't great. We say he isn't great, and there's a big difference between an average coach and a great coach. For instance, in this situation, we talking about 49 wins, right? He's increased the win total every season. Bro, do you know how trash the team was? You know what I'm saying? Like, you talking about a team that was already in the shitter. We not talking about a team that's coming from an era of good basketball. You talking about a team that was already ass. Now they just less ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's literally the situation. It's not like we talking about, yeah, bro, we talking about 49 fucking wins. 49 of them. 49 of them hoes. We ain't talking about getting out of the first round. We still talking about wins. We in year five of this. I know Willie wasn't here for the whole 5 year thing, but I think we gotta raise our expectations at some point, dog. Like, we gotta be better than, man. You know what? I couldn't cook last week, and now when I pass out plates, people don't run away. Yo, your shit's still trash. People just being nice to you.
Okay. Super chat, Joe. Appreciate you. I know, Ross. I gotta get the super. Do you want to go, Ross? Then we'll get to Joe.
Yeah, no, let's do Joe's question.
Joe, appreciate the super chats. Don't know why people think we get in a star player for role players.
Because this is exactly what I want to talk about. Like, I'm doing research and trying to find, like, the other teams that have expressed interest in Murray at the All-Star break last year, or have expressed interest in Trae Young, you know, just either publicly or privately, right? Just you dig up what you can find. And, like, I don't know why why do we think Atlanta would do this deal? Like, why do we think, sure, I can understand from the Pelican side why we're interested in DeJounte Murray and Trae Young and, like, wanting to do those deals. But why do we think they would do that? Because the world has changed since the All-Star break, when they were saying, oh, we want to shed salary, this, that, and the other. Well, like, you're now into the summer, and while there might be less stars on the table from Chaz's, you know, point earlier, there's always expiring salary on the table though. And if they really, like, if Atlanta can do pretty much anything they want this summer, they can use that pick to get off of some of their bad salary while getting a player back. They can attach that to Murray and go get shit, pretty much anyone that's available. They could blow the whole fucking thing up if they really wanted to. Start over with Jalen Johnson and whoever the first round pick would be. And if you could trade Murray and go get more young players, like, they could go in a bunch of different directions. I don't understand why any of those directions would involve Brandon Ingram and getting rid of Murray or Trae Young, like, to facilitate that. Right? Like, if you were gonna go a route like that, you know, you think about what teams might be interested in the first overall pick. Like a Utah, somebody like that, maybe Brooklyn, somebody sort of starting over. Like, they have better players that in theory would be available, right? Or if you even want to talk about the teams that made the playoffs that are looking to improve, well, who can put together a better package for Murray or Trae Young, us or Orlando? I'll answer it for you, Orlando. And so I just, like, part of this feels a little bit like we're, like, just not reality. I mean, I don't know how we would get, I just don't know how we, if those, if they, if Atlanta publicly said these two guys are on the table, best offer. It ain't us. It's just not.
And then this is Joe's follow up of BI and CJ. I enough to get you, Mike Conley. Joe, I always appreciate your super chats.
Appreciate you, Joe. I mostly agree with Ross. Like, if I'm at, first of all, I'm Atlanta, I don't pick up the phone. But the thing is also that just like with other teams, they don't like, or just like with national media or some of the people who might cover some of the podcasts. They don't tend to have a ton of data on these players as far as like context. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like one guy from the Wizards, and that goes to show you about that whole I'm not gonna do that. It's been a long day. I'm not gonna do that. But that goes to show you about, you know, that whole thing, you know, people will be locked on other teams. But like the guy from the Wizards, he was like, Brandon Ingram dropped 40 on us. It's great. Like, no, you fucking suck, stupid. You suck. Your team sucked. It's just trash. It's one of the worst teams in NBA history, motherfucker. And you cover this team. So why are you impressed that a motherfucker, you watch this team every day, and you still impressed that a motherfucker walked in there and dropped 40 on y'all? But there's people like this. So if you're a person from, you know, from the Hawks, you might be like, well, we need a wing, and we can't really get nobody else. Like, we ain't really got the average. There's no one really that good available. Like, right? Unless you just say, well, fuck it, we're going to roll with Johnson. We're going to roll with Jalen Johnson here. We're going to give him all the avenue he needs to be the man. There's really no one else available, and I'm kind of confident they don't want this number one pick, and they know they got to break those two up. So it might just kind of be, you know, the best of a bunch of bad options. You know what I'm saying? For us with Brandon, personally, I don't know. I still think Herb may be the prize in that because of his contract, yep, followed by a Trey Murphy. You know, because of like his potential and, you know, new contract that's almost like guaranteed. But I just think Brandon's such a bad fucking, he just, that's like one of the, just the worst trade chips you could have. Like, I just can't think of many teams that'd be like, yo, I need a slow guy. He gonna be my third option, and I'm gonna give him max or near max money. It gotta be like the 76ers or somebody like that who got first dibs and max space to go after Paul George. So Paul George would have to reject them. They would have to then turn their sights to Brandon Ingram, and they ain't got shit to offer. You're talking about and like salary. Like, it's just, even the Pistons, like, right, let's say you get the number 5 pick, you get Durin, and you get this filler. Let's say I would ask for, just give me Evan Fournier so I can have a big expiring contract, right? Let's say you get that. Now you still gotta wait until you can get rid of what's Willie so you can develop Durin. Then, like, it's just so many things because the coaching staff so bad. You got a bad coaching staff and a bad asset. Like, you just in a total, like, shitty, like, scenario here. And the offers, it looked weird. Like, you know.
49 wins. Say the Pelicans will go with, appreciate the super chat, Jared. What are we doing with Carlo?
Carlo?
Man,
my adopted son.
I have no idea. I mean, you did sign Justin's best friend to a deal last year. I don't know what Carlo is doing. I know maybe he's in Birmingham, maybe he's in New Orleans, maybe he's back overseas working out. But this would be what, year 3 for him, if I'm not mistaken.
This dude said it perfect.
Yes, yeah.
Wait, dude. Hold up. No, this dude right here said it perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, when we find out, bro, we'll let you know.
Fucking John, man. We got about 5 more minutes left, so 5 will go right back to you. So 5, do we have a coach that would trust? I mean, yeah, you do have a coach that's up, but a Trey Hawk Trey lineup.
Man, to be honest with you, bro, if they let JB, there's some really good coaches on the coaching staff. Let me just say that. You know, most people think like we just trash the entire, like, nah, bro. There's some really good minds in the building. But you know, some people step on those minds, step on those ideas, and continue to move on. Yeah, we'd hope they would allow those lineups to flourish, you know, allow the shooting to be you know, an advantage created for you, because you don't have like guys to get to the rim. You don't have guys that are elite athletically or have elite speed. So you might as well use it in some form or fashion. But the fact that you don't just allows our minds to wonder, like, what could this be? What would this be if we just said, hey, we have a Trey Hawk and Trey Hawk and Trey line.
Trey Hawk, Trey. That's
oh, man. Like the shooting, the spacing would be there. Then you adding Zion into that lineup? Yeah, that's perfect. That's what we probably
Zion hurt.
Hey, yo, I got a fire Zion, Trey Murphy, and Trey Young T-shirt idea. It's fire. It'll never happen, but it's fire.
Kai, I got to bring this up because I don't even know if you're in the chat, but just came here to say David Griffin's a liar and a fraud. I cut the Mavs game off because it made me mad all over again. So Kai, always appreciate. Fucking guy. Couple more. Let's see. Leo, do you believe this is true or what did it say? Sorry, did you
go ahead?
True or false? Would Zion
really move out of here? I think that's what you said, right?
Yeah,
I didn't see it. True or false? Would Zion assists would go through the roof with Trae Young? True or false?
Yeah, you talk about potential. I know you said Trey led the league in potential assists, but think about
Zion. Not a good catch and shoot guy, though. Allegedly, I haven't looked up the stats, but Trey Young struggled in the catch and shoot three.
How do we know that?
Other stats, I haven't looked.
28% of his shots were assisted.
Who?
It's not very many.
Trey. 28% of his shots were assisted.
Yeah, not very many.
How do we know that?
Not only that, who gives a fuck? You see Trae Young out there, you gotta respect it. You gotta respect it.
People
you
don't gotta understand respect that.
It from, what's that? What's the Bulls mascot? Benny the Bull from the fucking the tip of this motherfucker's horn. Pause. The little horn this motherfucker got from there. From there, you like, oh, what this motherfucker about to do? Let me wait a minute. Like, you gotta respect it. That's the thing. Like, it is like living in a dreamland. But no, oh, this motherfucker averaged 25-9 for his career. He can retire. He can retire. He'll be like the man. Like,
hey, Justin, two pointers, 542 attempts. Shot attempts on twos, 25% of that was assisted. 478 threes at 37%, 33% were assisted.
People don't.
Zion also was top 10.
It's crazy to me.
In the NBA.
It's just crazy to me that people like. Look, you don't have to like Trae Young, but he's a good player, man. Like, he's a good basketball player. We're just turning away talent. It's
Kevin crazy. Durant wasn't good enough for us, so I mean, of course
DeJounte Murray wasn't.
If you gotta move go ahead, Larry and Chad. Jose, man, you just can't.
I got one question for y'all.
Don't get me started.
What's the most you're willing to give up for Trey Murphy? I'm sorry, Trey Young. The most, because to me, if they like, look, Hawkins, that's it. And two firsts, I'm hanging up on you. I'm like, well, it's been real, y'all. I'm gonna watch y'all in Atlanta, man.
Does Brandon Hawk Dyson and picks get it done?
Brandon Dyson.
I think so. I think if you say I'm getting three firsts, somebody try to compare. I don't know what this motherfucker is. He gotta be on Ritalin. This motherfucker's talking about some. This motherfucker said, give him Dyson. That's like giving him another first. I'm like, are you crazy? Man, are you fucking nuts? You crazy motherfucker.
The thing is,
man, dog.
This is
crazy.
This is the tough part. Like, I don't even know if Atlanta wants picks. Like, you're assuming they even want them.
I think they want them as assets.
Right. Fine. Fair enough. But, like, in the last, they're probably saying the same shit we say. They're making picks in the top 10, and them motherfuckers ain't even playing. Yeah. Bufkin didn't play much. The dude they drafted last year. Yeah. Didn't play at all. I think they drafted one other one too. It was AJ Griffin was the one last year, I think. But it's like they in the same spot everybody else is in. I mean, they have loved Okongwu forever. Can't find no minutes for him. They won't play him over Capella. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
These picks are worthless. They're worthless.
So, you have anything else to add? Are we good?
No, y'all gotta answer the question. What's the most we y'all give up, Justin? And we could.
I just did. Oh, I'm sorry. I answered the question. I would say the most I would give up. Man, I don't know if I. Fuck. I guess Chaz, the way you broke it down, like, it's bullshit that Herb would have to be involved in this deal in order to.
It's fucked up, bullshit. But you know, teams don't want our trash. So that's why when you fuck up in the draft. In the lottery, you set your team back for at least a decade because you ain't got a good Jackson Hayes to trade. You ain't got a good Nikhil to trade. You ain't got a good Kyra Lewis to trade. So you set you in Dyson Daniels. Jesus. Right. So you better go out there and convince them. Put your best hustle man on and convince them that Dyson Daniels is younger than Herb. You wouldn't really be lying. He's younger than Herb.
No.
And he's got far more upside than Herb, and he could.
I wouldn't include Trent Murphy. No, I wouldn't.
That's too much. I would need to get like a bona fide dog back. Like it got if it's Ant.
What Joe just said. I'm sorry, Ross.
I would say I agree with Chaz. I mean, I'm like pretty comfortably giving up Brandon, Hawk, Herb, and a couple picks. Like I'm not even really.
Brandon Hawk and Herb.
Yeah, not even thinking and not even
Trey and what a Kongu?
Just Trey.
I don't need a Kongu back in that situation.
You're giving up all that for Trey?
Think about it like this. Brandon Ingram is gone. Do you want Brandon Ingram back?
I'm not attached to both Hawkins and Herb. No.
You don't want him back. Cool. Then let's just forget him.
But
do these picks have any value to you as other than assets? Because we sure as hell don't want them on the team. We don't want 20th picks on the team. So you agree getting rid of them before we actually have to make those picks is the smartest use of them. Fair?
Are they? Sure.
Okay. All right. So real quick, I can get it down to the only shit that's useful to me is Hawk and Herb for Trae Young. That's how I ultimately think about that deal because that's what it would look like in a year.
Yeah. That's real. Which
we would all do. And like, yeah, it's like you can't just throw like, yes, those other things matter. I just don't know what you're going to get for Brandon by himself. And these picks mean nothing to me at this point. They are junk.
But also I said, and that's my final thing is you got to remember Willie Green here. So if you think Hawk and if Willie Green wasn't here and if you thought Hawkins and Herb would be better, then it's different. Then it's like, nah, Hawkins can do. We know Hawkins can do a lot more. We know Herb can do more. But under Willie Green, these dudes might have peaked. Like, you know what I'm saying? These not Hawk so much, but like, man.
How much better can
it would Herb just be a bitch? Like Jared, it would be a bitch to watch Jordan Hawkins play for Quinn Snyder. It would be it would make me feel. Yeah,
people have traded for coaches. Fuck that.
Boy, I would give, bro. Everybody got to go if Quinn Snyder can get here.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody got
to go. I was mad when they signed him. I was like, this is fucked up.
Insane, Quinn. It's also said Donovan, too. All right. So, appreciate everyone an hour 20. Make sure you smash that like button. We'll go 5 seconds with Lito. Lito, before that, shout out to your wife, their master of art and counseling. Great party and then also so shout out to Alicia. Also, this happened on
we argue about the Pelicans. We have an argument about the Pelicans.
there's nothing behind those eyes. But go ahead, 5 seconds of lead.
I just couldn't believe that we was talking about the Pelicans. Like it was Justin. Listen, bro.
You couldn't believe. Wait, let me stop you right there. You couldn't believe you started it.
It was my fault.
Yes.
What I did?
You brought this conversation up.
We argue about the Pelicans. We have an argument about the Pelicans. We have an argument about the.
Those high, he don't know where he is. He don't know where he is. There's nothing there.
The fucking thing is, he starts the conversation and just backs off like that fucking home assistant meme in the fucking grass. He just removes himself from the conversation. Now I'm having conversations about Trey Murphy, like dude telling me he trash. I'm like, yo, wait, what are we doing right now?
Oh, you know what I did? I said we was taking a picture and I said BI on three. That's what I did. Hey Justin, I'm sorry, but I need a little bit more. I got more than 5 seconds worth to talk.
Go ahead.
All right, so check this out.
Your segment.
Check this out. I need to get this off my spirit. I've been feeling this way for a long time, but I never really had the platform to say it. UK rap is trash. I need an apology from everybody in the United Kingdom. Why do y'all rap like that? I blame Drake. Real shit, because without Drake, I wouldn't know it existed. Dudes out here rapping in the Queen's English, trying to make words rhyme. I'll give y'all an example. Bringing that dirty, bringing that surdy. What the fuck is that? Mizzy with the quick extension, ringing off 30. Hold on. Check this out. I've got bitches in the murky, swerving, looking all curvy. And you already know I love them breasts, looking all perky. Dog, if you don't get the fuck out of here with that bullshit... Later in the verse, he used the word arsehole, dog. If you gonna rap, son, please don't bring that colonizer shit. Please leave that shit outside of the bars, cuz. Listen. Buckingham Palace is hiring guards. Put the microphone down. We do not need any more of this. Pick up the fish and chips. Go be a chef. Learn how to do something else. I just watched a video of a dude named Tay Jordan earlier. This dude is 2024. Cuz is rapping over 90s West Coast beats in 2024. The worst part about it is that motherfucker had a Jerry curl. It's 2024. You brought back a Jerry curl? I'm 2 seconds away from saying defund rap in general. We don't need that shit no more if this was going to come to. I'm tired. Wahab, I'm sorry. I'm tired. I'm done.
Smash the like button. See y'all later.